Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today is Wednesday, February 19th, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues for our weekly Lunch and Learn. And this week, we will read Parshat Mishpatim in Shul, and everyone should have a source book in front of them that we're going to study from today. Okay, so
we need the whole machine?
No. We have the source book. And we come to chapter 23, Perek Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Chaf He, verse 25. And we have a commandment. V'avadetem et Hashem Elokeichem. You shall serve the Lord your God. And let's just read the whole pasuk. V'avadetem et Hashem Elokeichem, uveirach et lachmecha ve'et meimecha v'hasiroti machala mikirbecha. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will remove sickness from your midst.
What else do we need?
What else do we need? It's perfect. That's all we need. So we have a commandment here. V'avadetem et Hashem Elokeichem, that we are to serve God, and it's absolute, right? We are to serve God. The question is, what are we to make of the phrase or the clauses that come after that tzivui, that come after that commandment of you shall love the Lord your God, which says, uveirach et lachmecha v'et meimecha v'hasiroti machala mikirbecha, right, that we are to serve God, and after we serve God, there's a promise, right, that they'll be reward in it for us.
So it's a condition.
If you don't, then you won't be rewarded. Yeah, okay. So the question is, is there more than one way to understand this pasuk? So I want to look with you today using the commentary of Moshe Alshich. Moshe Alshich, you see his years, 1508 to 1593, right? Page one. We're still on page one.
Where was he?
Okay, Ottoman Empire and Sfat. Okay, Moshe Alshich. And before we get to him, I want to share with you a couple of other comments on this pasuk. I'm just having trouble loading it here on my computer, so just give me one second. Before we get to the Alshich, I want to share with you some other views on this. So we're going to Pasuk Chaf Hei. Okay? So for example, if we look at the commentary of the Sephorno, right? We have Adetem et Hashem Elokeichem. You don't have this in your book. The manner in which you will demonstrate that you indeed serve him is by destroying all the idols as mentioned in the previous verse. Right? The previous psukim, which are not on your sheet, are talking about the obligation to destroy idols. So the way when it says you have to serve God, it's through this following this obligation to destroy the idols. As a corollary of having destroyed idolatry and its representatives, you will not need to worry about anyone in your midst trying to convert Jews to other religions. And then, uveirach et lachmecha, right, the promises that come afterwards, so that it will prove nutritious instead of a source of variety of ailments, or v'hasiroti machala mikirbecha, diseases caused by polluted or air or climate or aspects of the climate. Okay? So it sounds a lot like here that there's a quid pro quo, right? That if, right? What?
This is with our president.
Somebody is using the wording that we hear all over.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did not mean that at all. That was not meant to be a political thing. at all. I'm sorry about that. Okay. Yes. Okay. So that's what it sounds like. That right? If Bnei Israel do this, right? If you serve God, then He will bless you with whatever it is that we need. Right? The Nitziv says. But this is specifically talking about karbanot. Zehu avodah hamiyuchedet legavoha b'mizbeach shehu mashpia mazon haaretz. Here it's not. It's a debate as to what the service is, right? In the previous comment in the Sephorno, we said the service is destroying foreign idols. And here the Nitziv says the service is the avodah in the Mishkan, or ultimately the Beit HaMikdash. Avodah, from the word v'avadetem, right, in the pasuk that you have on your sheet, which we have translated as "you shall serve." Avodah, the word avodah, could mean general service, but it could also have a very specific meaning: the avodah of the karbanot, the service of the karbanot in the Mishkan, and that's what the Nitziv says it means. We're talking about properly fulfilling the obligations of the mizbeach, of the altar, and bringing the karbanot. And based on that, the Nitziv says, kimashmo she'avodah mivi'ah bracha, that doing the avodah properly in the Mishkan brings bracha. Okay? Now I want to get into the... Right, they're not necessarily mutually exclusive, although you do want to define what the term avodah means, right? Because if there's going to be a reward for doing the avodah, then it'd be nice to know what the avodah is so that you can do that service and glean the reward, right? Exactly. Okay. So here we have this sort of chad mashma'i, this absolute requirement of service of God. And the as I said, Moshe Alshich offers a very, very nice series of interpretations of this, which I want to spend some time on. So let's dive in to the Alshich on page one of your source book. Okay. He says as follows: Od kivein sha'avodotam ben im mitnaheg imachem birachmanut v'zeu et Hashem. Ben im mitnaheg imachem badin, al tirpu me'avodato yitbarach davar v'zehu elokecha. What the Alshich notes here, with a very close reading, is that God is referred to here in two ways: Hashem elokecha. Now that's not out of the ordinary. That's a common way that the Torah refers to God. But the Alshich says it teaches us something, right? There's a difference in meaning, or there's a difference in the relationship between God and Bnei Yisrael, which can be understood depending on how God is referred to. Okay, God as referred to as Yud, He, Vav, and He, right? The first way that God is referred to in this pasuk, we say Hashem or Adoshem, right, is understood rabbinically in far-reaching ways to be referring to God's sense of, or God's midah, characteristic of rachmanut, of compassion.
Okay.
The reason why, one of the reasons why, is because if you look at the end of the word, it ends with a kamatz hey, which is nikeva. And this is God's yud hey vav hey.
Yeah.
The kamatz hey at the end is
there's a kamatz under the vav.
Right, and then the hey, kamatz, and then hey at the end is nikeva. Okay, and so that,
so and so, nekeva,
so God is nekeva. God is has like rachmanut, like a mother. Okay, so that's not the Alshich's creation, but he's using that understanding to explain what's going on in this verse. So on the one hand, in this verse, God is referred to as a motherly, compassionate, kind figure. And then Elokeichem, says the Alshich, refers to God when he deals with us with din, as he says, mitnahegim achem bedin, strictly. Okay, right. So then the question is, which one is it, right? So what's going on here? So then the Alshich says, first of all, the pasuk says, v'avadatem et Hashem Elokeichem. Whether or not God is relating to you, or you feel that God is being kind to you, or you feel that God is being strict to you, v'avadatem et Hashem Elokeichem. We have an obligation to serve God.
Unconditionally.
Right? We may, unconditionally, exactly, Shula. We may feel a certain way about the our interaction with God. We may feel that, and I'm sure this is true for many of us around the table. There are some times in our lives when we feel God is smiling at us, right? And there are some times in our lives where we feel that God is being very strict with us and we're having a hard time, says the Alshich. Doesn't matter. Now, he's not saying this is easy, right? We should not downplay or diminish the difficulty of what the Alshich is asking, right? That's I think obvious, but nonetheless, that's what the Alshich is saying that this pasuk is telling us. V'avadatem et Hashem Elokeichem, you shall serve God whether we feel that God is relating to us compassionately or in a strict fashion. Yeah.
Does it relate to the fact, since kamat he means motherly, Elohechem is plural?
We're going to get to that.
Oh.
We're going to get to the plural aspect of this as well.
So it's not fatherly, but it's plural.
We're going to get to that. Next. Excellent question. Yeah. Okay. Let's keep going. The Alshich then goes on. Okay. So, in the words of Rabbi Carmiel Cohen from Yeshivat Mala Gilboa, he says, "Ben im tov la adam, ben im ralo, hu mechuyav la'avodat Hashem." Whether it's good for a person or bad for or hard for a person, we are obligated to serve God. Davar ze nilmad mehashimush b'shnei shemotav shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu. This we learn from the use of God's name twice. As I said, okay. Then, in addition to this idea, the Alshich talks about the type, the way that we serve God, and he notes as follows. We're in the second paragraph. Yomar ki hinei derech hamelech basar vadam. Hamitzaveh et mea ish ya'asu lo ir o migdal. Says, let's take a human king who commands his subjects to build a town or a tower, ir o migdal. V'yitein lahem mea elef zehuvim. And he says, I'm going to give you, the builders, 100,000 gold pieces. Lo yakpid ela shetase milachto. The king has one concern, right? What's his concern?
That
the work gets done. Okay. Ben yase yasuhu yachad kulam o meat kol echad v'echad b'fnei atzmo. He doesn't care. He's not getting into the nitty-gritty of how the managers build the team and how many people do the work and what shifts they're on and who does the work. He doesn't care whether they do it all together or whether they work separately. He has, at the end of the day, he says, I want this town built in 6 months. In 6 months, he wants to come back and see that the town is built.
Even those that will enjoy it, even those that did not participate at all.
Presumably, yeah. Uvishalmo hasachar yichalek chelek kechelek elef zehuvim lekol echad vechad. He's going to give out the money to everybody, even though there are some slackers and some people who worked hard. He's going to give out the money equally. He doesn't want to get into the details of all that. Amnam, hu yitbarach lo kein hu. It says, however, God is not this way. God is not this way. Right? So again, a melech basar vadam cares that the work gets done and everyone gets the same sachar. Everyone gets the same reward. Why not?
Because the manager gets more.
That's what you think.
All kind of breakdown.
We're talking about the workers. All the workers are going to get all the schleppers are going to get the same, right? But it doesn't matter if one schlepper is working 15% less hard than another. At the end of the day, he's going to get the same. He's going to get the same thing.
But Salvador doesn't do that.
Shulamit looking for fairness.
Right, right. Shula is very. Altruisti. How do you say altruisti in English? I know. I'm kidding. Okay, altruisti. All right. So, okay. So now let's talk about the difference between a melech basar vadam and God. Amnam hui parach lo kein hu. However, God is not this way. Ki im ba'avoda lo yechpots yiyeh kol echad b'fnei atzmo. First of all, God wants us all to serve him together as a group, right? This notion of Elokecha, maybe that's where he's getting this from. He wants us to serve him together. This is interesting. From the human king's perspective, he doesn't care if one person built the city or if everyone built the city. He just wants the city built. But from God's perspective, says the Al-Sheikh, Kieno domem merubim osim et ha-mitzvah, lemuatim osim et ha-mitzvah. You can't compare a situation where many are doing the mitzvah to just a few doing the mitzvah. There's a notion of birov am hadrat melech, that the more people that are doing the mitzvot, that are acting together, God's glory is expanded. God's glory is made greater. There's a greater Kiddush Hashem. The more people that are following the Torah and doing the mitzvot, right? There's a greater sanctification of God's name. It's not only it's not just the end result. There's a certain quality of more people. V'zehu vavaditem lashon rabim. Okay, vavaditem, you as a group, lashon rabim. This is a plural language. It doesn't come out in the English, but you shall serve. In the Hebrew, is you a group of people. It's not you as an individual, it's you as a group. Ach, okay, so that's, he wants us serving as a group. However, ach bischar, when it comes to the reward for the mitzvot, im she'avdam yachad kulam, lo yiyeh scharam chelek kechelek bishaveh. Even if everyone works together, the reward is different. Okay? Why? Because God has something. God has something that the Melech Basar Vadam doesn't have, and what is that?
That he sees what
omnipotence. Right. He knows everything.
Right.
He knows everything. So here's what he says. Right. Exactly. Right. So this is very interesting. This is a very interesting aspect, a very interesting challenge of how we're supposed to serve God. Let's look what he says. He says, ki, we're on the fourth line of the Hebrew, about two-thirds towards the end of the line. Ki gam biyot elef ish osim yachad mitzvah achad. You have 1,000 people doing the same mitzvah. You have 1,000 people davening mincha. Okay? Ein echad mikulam notel b'shaveh im chaviro. No single person of that 1,000 is going to get the same reward as someone else in that group. Ki peles umaazne mishpat lahashem. Vehu yifales viyomar hine ploni hayapanui ach reehu heiniach askav lasot mitzvah. God is able to fully understand exactly what it took for us to do the mitzvah. One person who was davening mincha happened to have been off that day. But the other person who came to do the mitzvah, right, what does he say? He niach askav lasot mitzvah. Asakav. He stopped working. He set aside whatever he was doing. He was doing that way. So maybe it's a little harder. It took a little bit more effort. Right, for that person.
So just because of that, why should they get the same?
They don't. That's what he's saying. The Melech Basar Vadam. In the Melech Basar Vadam, they all get the same, but not for God. Because God understands what's required of each of us as individuals. And so he does not judge us all the same. Exactly as you said. V'al derech zeh. Ploni asa b'itzvon. This is even more interesting. Uploni shelo b'itzvon. One person did it begrudgingly, like it's a tircha. I have no choice. All right, they're forced. Right, out of a sense of obligation. Uploni b'simcha. Uploni b'simcha yetera. Someone does it with joy, and someone does it with exceptional or even more joy. Now, the Melech Basar Vadam, the human king, can't figure that out, right? You could have a person who, as they're laying each brick for the king, says, this king is a jerk, he's terrible, I hate him, he's thinking in his mind. And the other one, person who's laying the bricks next to him, loves the king. At the end of the day, they're both going to get the same money because they both laid the same amount of bricks. But not for God, right? God knows, first of all, practically, what it took for us to do the mitzvah. Did it cost us money? Did it cost us time? Whatever else may have cost us, practically. And also, emotionally, God knows how we, this is really, on the one hand, inspirational, on the one hand, it could be a little daunting, right? God also knows internally what we're thinking as we do the mitzvah. Are we happy about it? Are we doing it just out of a sense of obligation? Uploni b'chvedut, uploni b'zrizut. One person does it like you have to drag them to it, and one does it with the rizut, like they're quick, they're zealous to do the mitzvah. Uploni b'kavana kala, uploni b'kavana gedola. And one person with the full understanding, you know, hinini muchan umzuman, Lekaye mitzvah tfilat mincha. Right here, I am ready to fulfill the mitzvah of davening mincha, and I know I'm going to pray to God, and I'm going to. And the other person just right. In the end, they've said the same words, and the outsider can't tell the difference, but God could tell the difference. Right, right. So. Vehahekesh be'elef alfei minei bichinot ein mispar. And he says you could just keep giving more and more examples. There's no end to the nuances between people. So what's beautiful about this is that sometimes we feel that we're just a cog in a machine, right? We're just like everybody else. But what the Al-Sheikh is saying is that no, God really, we have to put this in the positive light that God appreciates exactly. God appreciates the individual struggle of each and every mitzvah. Meaning from our perspective, it all looks the same. But from God's perspective, you could have two people who look like they're doing exactly the same thing, but one person, whatever the difficulties and whatever the struggles and whatever the mental hurdles and the physical challenges they had to overcome to just show up for a class on a Wednesday afternoon, right? But for someone else, it was very easy, and God understands that. So that's actually could be very comforting.
But it's still, it's not realistic. He doesn't know the way of the real world, Moshe Alsher.
Why not?
Because there's not such a melech that would really.
No, of course. No, I'm not sure. You could have no a king, a boss. Let's take a boss. A boss doesn't. Mostly, a boss is concerned for productivity, right? The boss is interested in. So yeah. The boss doesn't care. Again, if the person is productive, he doesn't care if the person's excited to do the work. He doesn't care if the person loves the boss. He doesn't care if the person jumped out of his bed that morning and said, I cannot wait for another day of work, as opposed to the other person who just pulled himself out of bed. In the end, they both get there on time. They both clocked. They both were productive. Now, it's true that you may not be as productive if you don't like the work, but practically speaking, the boss doesn't care. But he's saying, no, it really matters. And by the way, I'm not sure which of those two people gets more schar, the person who it's easy for them to do it, or the person who it's really hard and it's not so pleasant, but they pull themselves and they force themselves to do it anyway. I don't know who gets more schar, but what the Al-Sheikh is saying is that God really appreciates us all as individuals and knows our own private struggles.
So that's why the Hasidim and the Baal Shem Tov said that if you et Hashem b'simcha, and it's
no matter which way you do it,
no,
the attitude
no,
comes.
But it's true. When you do something with kind of inner enthusiasm,
yeah. That's true, but that's not always, meaning that's, but again, we have to remember that's not always, simcha is very important, happiness and joy, but it's not easy, it's not always possible.
So,
Leora.
So it's not just,
okay, so of course the bottom line is yes, the one bad thing happens to you.
Why is that the bottom line? Why does it go against this? Well, what this says is that first of all, I don't know if there's a really, there is no good answer to that question. But here, I don't think he's addressing that. I think the Al-Sheikh is addressing the general idea of how God views our service of him. And what he's saying is that God views our service as individuals, as unique individuals, without saying you're all the same. It doesn't matter how easy it was, how difficult it was, how excited you were, how not excited you were. Every one of us has our own baggage that we come with, and God recognizes. Yeah. All right, let's keep reading. Where does he get all this from? Right? So we're still on page one. Be'ofen she'im as, third line from the bottom. Be'ofen she'im asotam ha-mitzvah yachad yaschar prati el kol echad lifnei b'chinato. If everyone does the work together, everyone is going to get their own schar, their own reward, based on their own unique circumstances. V'zehu omro v'yavadetem et Hashem Elokechem, that God, we will serve God v'yavadetem lashon rabim. You, as a group, will serve God. The al kol zeh uveirach et lachmecha lashon yachid. Okay, that's where he gets it from, right? As a we serve God as a group, the avadetem as a group, but he will bless your bread and your water. You, as an individual, because God is able to understand, because he knows your right. Exactly. He knows your attitude. Okay. So I thought that was a very nice approach. Again, because it reminds us of the general idea that we are viewed, that God looks at us all as individuals and not as just cogs in a wheel of doing his will. So that's really the main thrust of this. But I wanted to just share with you one other source from the Mesilat Yesharim, classic work of Musar. Since the Al-Sheikh mentioned Simcha, and some of you also mentioned Simcha, the Mesilat Yesharim in this section is dealing with ways to serve God with love, and here he says the second branch of how we show that we're serving God with love is with Simcha. We'll just read this. We don't get a chance to do too much Mesilat Yesharim here. I'm not sure if we'll get. We'll try. We'll just read it quickly. Okay. We'll just read the English. The second branch of love of God is joy. It is a great essential principle in serving God. That is what David exhorted us, saying, "Ivdu et Hashem b'simcha." Serve God with joy. Ba'u lefanav bir nana. Come before him with song. and the righteous will rejoice, they will exult before God and delight with joy. And our sages said the divine presence rests on a person only through his rejoicing in a mitzvah. On the aforementioned verse, serve God with joy, our sages said in the Midrash, Rabbi Abahu said, when you stand to pray, your heart should rejoice, for you are praying to the Almighty of whom there is none like him. That's I want to stop there, because there, I think the Masilat Yesharim is not only telling us that we're supposed to serve God with joy, because again, it's hard to do that, right? Sometimes we're just not feeling it. But the Masilat Yesharim, in explaining, in quoting this midrash, based on the previous pasuk of serve God with joy, ivdu et Hashem b'simcha. Right? How am I supposed to get to that simcha? Right? How am I supposed to get to that point of joy? Right? I may not be in the mood. Right? So the midrash says, Amar Rabbi Abahu, kishetie omed lifnei lifa. I just read it in English, which has Shocher Tov Tehillim 100. 7 lines from the bottom in the Hebrew. Seven lines from the bottom of page 2 in the Hebrew. Kishetie omed lefanai litpalel, ye libcha sameach alecha, she'ata mitpalel elokim, she'ein kayotzi bo. Meaning the whole point, why should we be happy when we're praying? We should be happy when we're praying, he says, because we could attain the happiness once we realize the opportunity that we have. The opportunity is to stand before God in prayer, right? That is not a given, right? We take it as a given because we're so used to it, right? But the notion to be able to approach God whenever we want and ask God for things or thank God for things or praise God for things, right? Those are the three basic elements of tefillah, of prayer. That's not so obvious that you could approach the Melech Malchei HaMlachim, right? The King of Kings, whenever one wants. But now we realize that according to our understanding of how God operates and how we can operate with God, that we can always do that. We can always approach God, She'ein Kayotze Bo, of whom there is none like him. That can give us a sense of joy. I think the same idea can apply to mitzvot in general, right? That the opportunity to serve God, and that things that we do on a daily basis, and which many of us would do anyway, are actually considered mitzvot, may give us a certain joy, right? May give us a certain sense of simcha, that we have this opportunity to serve this Elokim She'ein Kayotze Bo. Right, it takes a little bit of sort of a reconfiguring of our brain and a moment or two just to consider what we're doing. And if we would consider what we're doing, maybe we would have joy. The point is, it's not so simple to say just serve God with joy. In order to serve God with joy, we have to take a moment to think about what that opportunity brings us.
Yeah, but what's wrong to have joy thinking about the reward?
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I wouldn't say there's anything wrong with that. There are many rabbinic teachings which suggest that that's not the ideal, right? That the ideal is to serve God
no matter what,
because out of a sense of love, right? I think we could compare this also to a lot of relationships, human relationships, right? We don't necessarily serve our spouse or a partner or a child because we expect that they're going to do something for us in return. We do it because we love them. Period. So that's an ideal in the rabbinic mind, the rabbinic world. That's an ideal. Does it mean that serving God out of a sense of reward is wrong? No, I wouldn't call it wrong, not at all. For some people, that's the motivation necessary. Some people are motivated by the reward. Some people are motivated by the fear of the punishment. Those are also part of Yahadut. That's also part of the Jewish tradition. So I wouldn't call it wrong. I do think that the rabbis saw it not as ideal, but there's a difference, a big difference between not ideal and wrong. And I think it's a good thing you brought that up. Yes.
I was
thinking. Hold on. You want one more thought?
I was thinking about that when I was a child during the Milchemet Atzmaut. So we were sitting in this little corner, and the bombings kept coming and things. And I was a very young girl, and I remember vividly that would say, like, "Lo amut ki achiv asaper masaya."
Wow.
To pretend. I was so scared that I tried to make God feel that I'm doing it for him, but I was caring for myself. I just said that, pretend that if my purpose of living is in order to praise Hashem.
Wow. Okay.
I had a conflict whether it you had was own true conflict. Or not.
Right. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. Yes. That's amazing. Liora. Only God, that's up to God to decide, right?
What moves me to get closer to something higher is music. Or I just have to say it because I feel like it's missing a little bit. I'm sure.
Okay. Actually, one of the. We'll get to a source about music in a second. I'll read a few more sentences in Mesilat Yesharim. And then a thing about music, then we'll wrap it up. On the bottom of page 2, for this is true joy, namely that a person's heart delight that he merits to serve before the blessed master of whom there is none like him, and to toil in his Torah and his mitzvot, which are the true perfection of the eternal world. So this idea that what's supposed to give us simcha, joy, is the recognition, right? It's interesting. It's not the specific mitzvah itself. The Mesilat Yesharim here is not focusing on the specific mitzvah itself. The Mesilat Yesharim here is focusing on the idea behind the mitzvot, and that is the opportunity to serve God. That in and of itself should bring us joy, should bring us simcha.
It's a merit.
It's a merit. Right.
Because you have to think always that things can be the opposite, and you will not be able to serve Hashem.
Right. Yeah, well.
That you can serve Hashem.
Yes.
That's by itself a merit that's supposed to make you
right.
happy.
There's a Gemara. There's a Gemara. It escapes me where someone says that the reason they're sad that they're going to die is because they know that when they die, they can't do mitzvot anymore. Right? They weren't afraid of death, but that was the end of their ability to serve Hashem. Okay, Liora, let's get to your point. And then we'll wrap it up. Stay on page 2, on the top source on page 2. This is from the Tochacha, from the admonitions, the curses that God says will come to the Jewish people if they do not follow in his ways. Tachat asher lo avadita et Hashem Elokecha bisimcha uvituv levav mirov kol. Because you would not serve the Lord your God in joy and gladness over the abundance of everything. I think it's important just to point out, I do not think this pasuk is saying that bad things happen to us if we don't serve God with joy. What it's saying is that instead of serving God when things were good, you're going to have a much harder time serving God when things are not good, when the Gentile nations are lording over you. But so that's what the pasuk, I think, means in its pshat, in its most straightforward way. But the Gemara in Masechet Erech in Liora says this. Rav Matya said that the source for the requirement to accompany the temple offerings with song is derived from here, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and with goodness of heart. What is this service of God that is performed with joyfulness and with goodness of heart? You must say that this is song. So exactly like you said, Liora, uh-huh. Right? That song, obviously, well, it goes both ways. Song can bring us joy, but also song can be a symbol of pre-existing joy, right? You're just walking down the street and you break into song. It usually means you're in a good mood. On the other hand, if you're not in a good mood, song could help you get out of that and bring you joy. And so here, again, avadita, from the word avodah, the service of Hashem in the Beit HaMikdash specifically has to be joyful. And what's the joyfulness? According to the Gemara, the joyfulness is music. So you were right on the money, Liara. Okay, everyone, we should all have a blessed day and the opportunity to serve God with joy and song. and happiness and kavanah.
I'm telling you.
Have a wonderful day, everybody.
You have the Israeli folk dancers here once a week, right?
Right.
So those of us Israeli...
Buddy, today is Wednesday, February 19th.
We lift up their spirit. So if somebody came to the dancing in New York, and was clapping and said, the minute they hear the singing, that's it. It's like their
right.
Legs are
lifted.